right?
Yeah. Well,
okay. You were saying that you're...
My niece was going to school studying languages, and among them Russian language, at Washington University in St. Louis. So we sent the letter to her, and she got her professor to translate the letter. Now, in the letter, she said she had carried an envelope with my dad's address with her since 1939. And this was the first, we assumed this was the first chance that she knew she could write from Russia, because the Cold War was going on,
right,
to him. And she wrote that she could understand Yiddish. But my mother was fluent in Yiddish, which is a little different than Hebrew, but it's sort of a Jewish language. So my mother was able to write to her, and she would write back in Russian, and we would send a letter to my niece in St. Louis. And get it. The part I forgot, that in the 1930s, my dad's younger sister, I forgot how many he had, left Poland and went to Israel as a sopra, as a worker. And there she met her husband and married, and she raised a family. And she kept in touch with my mother, my dad, through the mail over the years. So, and then in 1950, we were married in 52, about 1954, my mother and dad went to Israel for him to visit his sister.
Wow.
And we keep in touch every so often with my aunt, who's still living, but mainly with her two children, who are grown and maybe a little younger than I am, but grown. But the niece who wrote from Russia said that she became separated from the family. They were fleeing toward Russia, and she became separated from her grandmother, her grandfather, maybe her mother, from the family. And she doesn't know what happened to them, exactly what happened to them. But she managed to get to Russia, and they trained her there to be a nurse. And she worked as a nurse. And so my sister, my niece at that time, went to France to study. And one of my sisters went to France and met up with her, and they went to Russia and looked her up and met her. And she was living down at Yalta, in a sanitarium, because her health wasn't good.
Wow.
My aunt in Israel and my dad tried to get her to be able to come to Israel. And it was mostly done through Israel. And my dad sent money over and different things to try to help her get out of Russia. And they finally let her go, and she came to Israel. And my aunt and her family met her at the airport and took her home, and they realized she was sick. And they took her to the hospital, and they operated on her, and she was full of cancer. She never left the hospital. In the meantime, one of my brothers was going to Israel, and he visited her in the hospital. But she died while she was in the hospital. But going back a little bit, I remember my mother wrote her when my father died, about 1968, that my dad had died. She sent a bouquet of dried flowers and asked us to put it on his grave. But I didn't put all of them on the grave. I kept some and had the florist make a little arrangement and framed it. So I have that as a keepsake. And I put the other flowers on his, the remainder of the flowers on his grave. But it was sort of, I have several letters, if I could put my hands on them, of the translation of the letters that she wrote. And, but at that time, they said the only reason she was able to come to Israel, because she was sickly. And the Russians were letting the sick go out so they wouldn't have to take care of them. But she got there, but she never really left the hospital until she died.
How long did, was it a matter of days or weeks? Or?
I don't know how long she was in the hospital, but you know, it probably was several weeks. So, mm-hmm. Because my, in the meantime, while she was in the hospital, my brother was going to Israel with a client and then to South Africa from there. So while he was in Israel, he was able to, mm-hmm. you know, look her up. But we keep in touch with the relatives who are in Israel now. The other family, on my mother's side, most of her family who came from Latvia had left. And maybe she had some distant cousins there, but most of them came to this country, but one group went to South Africa because the husband of one of the aunts had relatives in, had already gone to South Africa. So we do have relatives in South Africa that we hear from once in a while. And but the other Jewish families in Weldon, as well as I can remember, either they did not have relatives left, or at least the ones that were left, they didn't keep in touch with them.
Right.
Because I never heard any of the others talk about, you know, relatives being victims of the Holocaust.
Did you have anything to add?
Well, I can just tell you that my mother's family was, as far as I know, they were mostly in this country at the time of the Holocaust. And those who were not, I'm sure, Hitler got rid of. And my father had family in, well, it would have been Austria at that time, I guess. It had, originally was Poland, but I think Austria had taken over the part of the Poland that he came from. And they were killed during the war.
Did you have an awareness of the Holocaust happening before the end of the war?
Oh, yes. We knew that these things were going on in Europe,
in,
yeah.
In the 1930s and all, and the crackdown.
Well, of course. I think they knew all along.
I don't think we were aware in the early 30s.
When no,
the first started,
towards the end.
But,
yeah.
You know, it became known that he was issuing decrees by the Jewish people. I don't think we knew about the concentration camps as much until the latter part, you know, maybe 1944, 45, you know, that era.
Right.
But because, you know, it wasn't much said. You know, no. The people, the press didn't, you know, they weren't in the stories. Even mm-hmm. President Roosevelt, you know,
right.
Apparently wasn't as aware. Because we've always read and felt that, you know, the State Department knew what was going on. But Cordell Hull and some of the others, they sort of brushed it aside, didn't make an issue about it. Even the Catholic Church, you know, the Pope is even now apologizing for the Catholic Church not taking a stand against the Holocaust.
And
it's amazing now what's coming out now about,
right.
You know, the banks and Switzerland holding all this wealth
right.
from Jewish victims, and now it's just coming to light that they, and about the slave laborers. Just last week, someone mm-hmm. suing Bayer Company for using slave labor
right.
and not paying them.
An experiment.
And
medical experiment.
So, you know, a lot of things, it taken years to come out. But I think we knew Jews were being mistreated, but I don't think we were aware of the concentration camps and the, just the elimination.
And it's not the kind of thing one can imagine out of thin air anyway, because who could have imagined? I mean, even in your worst nightmares, you couldn't have
imagined that somebody would would have a program. You know, all this was planned and carried out. They built railroads. They put them in boxcars. We both have been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, and I don't know if you've ever been there, but that's one place you ought to go.
I haven't been to Washington since it was open and I couldn't get tickets. But.
And they say that there are more visitors to the Holocaust Museum than there is to anything else in Washington.
I've heard it's really powerful.
And you know, and the greater number of visitors are non-Jews.
Mm-hmm. No, I've been trying to find out actually whether it's the kind of thing that at what age you can bring children to. Is it so powerful that you don't bring a 7-year-old?
No, I don't think you'd bring a 7-year-old.
Not a 7-year-old.
I think a teenager, you know, a young teenager, 12, you know, you.
12.
They have a special room, a special exhibit there for children, or what happened to children.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I'm kind of a divided mind. On one hand, I'd like it to make a deep impression.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that.
Well, this friend of mine, Verona Kravitz, who's a teacher, told me she took her children. But, you know, they were sort of teenagers, I guess. They must have been 13, 14. And they were so impressed and amazed. And it made such an impression on them. But it's quite an exhibit.
I guess they read the diary of Anne Frank when they're in high school, I guess. And it could be middle school.
I think even younger. Sometimes, my children, my oldest is almost 8, she hasn't, but a friend of ours is in 5th grade, and he's reading it, and it's a little hard for him, but they are doing a lot with it. Well, it's Jane's son.
Mm-hmm. Jane.
What's her last name?
That's Ben.
I know. But,
she was.
I was thinking.
Paul Balthazar and Jane.
Paul and Jane, okay.
Wesnick?
Wedick. And then your other friend is in Raleigh that knows Ben. And you,
he's in Durham.
Durham also?
Jack is in Durham.
Jack, what's his last name?
Holtzman.
I was trying to think of that name the other day.
Jack Holtzman and Pam Silverman.
Yeah. Well, fine. Well, you think we've covered?
I think we have. And it's been fascinating.
We'll go upstairs and I'll just show you some of these things.
That'd be great.
Pulled out.
I'd like to know from what angle you're developing your story.